The Weekly Hugh Demon. Full steam ahead.
The Gnostic hates the structure. So this is like part six of Eric Voegelin's six traits that make a Gnostic. This is actually the fifth part. One, two, and three traits were each their own episode. Four and five were combined into one episode. And then trait six is going to be broken into two, maybe three episodes. So this is part five of a six-part series, and it's part one of a two-part sub-part series, for what it's worth. So ancient Gnosticism presupposed an elaborate cosmological structure of evil. So ancient Gnosticism used the ancient cosmic system. The earth was in the center, surrounded by the air and the spheres, sun, moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, and a ring of fixed stars that closed it all off. You know, that was more or less the accepted astronomical science around the time of Christ. It was nothing novel. But the ancient Gnostic took this cosmological system one step further. It taught that the cosmological system was a prison. I'm pretty sure every Gnostic sect taught this idea. I mean, I think that is like the sine qua non without which ancient Gnosticism didn't exist. I mean, most sects said the cosmos was the creation of an evil god, the Demiurge, who created the cosmos as a structure of deception. The Demiurge then outfitted the structure with demons and archons who acted as prison guards to make sure no one got out of this cosmological prison. And that was the key. Gnosticism offered liberation from the prison. The cosmological prison was the sine qua non of Gnosticism. If existence wasn't a prison, the Gnostic's product, knowledge, the map, the plan for escape, was worthless. I mean, Gnosticism without a structural evil to overcome is like football, baseball, or basketball without a ball. Gotta have the structure. And that's a big problem. So, recall the metaxy. That in-between area between transcendence and immanence. The metaxy is a tough place. It's tension between the two poles, transcendence and immanence. It's frustration and hope. It's struggle and peace. It's work and calm. It's confusion and serenity. It sucks and it doesn't suck. It's a structure, but it's not a structure. And I actually drew up a diagram last month and posted it. And you go to the show notes, you'll see it. Yeah, but it's a structure, but it's not a structure. The Tao is a symbol of its ineffable and ultimately mysterious nature. The ancient Gnostic didn't like that. The ancient Gnostic said the entire cosmos is a structure. Moreover, he said it was a structure he understood and could defeat by escaping it, and that he could teach others how to escape it, and that our whole purpose was to escape it because the cosmological structure sucks. It's a fundamental misstep. It's the biggest misstep because it is metaphysically primordial and frames everything in the picture. So right from the get-go, the Gnostic is whacked in the head. He has this bad worldview. Thinks the cosmos is a prison and it sucks. You know, I was at a funeral recently. One of my sons said, hey, my older guy told his friend who had just lost his father, who was in mourning, the older guy said to the young man, he said, look, life's a shit sandwich. Every morning you take another bite. And that's an exact quote. The older guy was right, but he's also wrong. I mean, life might be a shit sandwich, but there's mouthwash, floss, and a toothbrush. It's hard to get that taste out of your mouth, sure, but it can be managed. And occasionally the bad taste is almost completely gone, and things actually seem pretty good. Until you have to take another bite. But to the ancient Gnostic, there is no mouthwash, floss, or toothbrush. It's all shit sandwich all the time. So the answer to the Gnostic is to get rid or to be rid of the shit sandwich and the Demiurge who keeps cramming it down our throats with the evil structure he put in place. I mean, it's no wonder the Gnostic feels existential discontent and unhappiness, which is Voegelin's first trait. Of the Gnostic, just an unhappy person, discontented all the time. The ancient Gnostic taught its followers They could be rid of the shit sandwich by escaping the structure. The modern Gnostic teaches its followers, or modern Gnosticism teaches its followers, they can be rid of the shit sandwich by demolishing the structure. All right, now we're going to talk a little bit about the modern school of structuralism. Okay, now, just in general, modern thought tends to revolve around the idea that we live in an immanent structure. Immanent, I-M-M-A-N-E-N-T, like earthly structure. There is no transcendence, there is no metaxy. There's just the earth with a massive dome of linguistic connections, inferences, presumptions, beliefs, customs, traditions, rules, and institutions that sits over every culture. Most modern thought starts with the view that every culture sits imprisoned under this constellation of conceit that we created, and then forgot that we created it. That's a Nietzsche idea. And because we made it originally, we can unmake it, teach these modern structuralists, and start over whenever we want. We could toss aside cultures, presumptions, beliefs, customs, rules, institutions, because they're all just quote-unquote artificial constructs. And I'd say this general feeling laces modernity. Even if most moderns aren't aware of it, it's one of those presumptions that informs the modern attitude. Now, this attitude was largely formed by a philosophical school known as structuralism. It was founded by the Swiss linguist, actually taught in France, I believe, but Ferdinand de Saussure, whose lectures on language were collected by his students and published after his death in 1913. His ideas spread wildly, and by the mid-1960s, structuralism was considered an absolutely unassailable final source of truth. In fact, when Jacques Derrida demolished the hell out of it and discredited it, he is speaking at a lecture in Baltimore where he is being brought over to celebrate. The whole conference was a celebration of structuralism, and Derrida was a star speaker, and Derrida came in and crapped all over it and said, this is BS. I'll be talking about Derrida in a future episode. Anyway, so what exactly is structuralism? Okay, it's dense stuff, and I'm just going to read you probably the best quote I've ever heard or seen by Louis Marcos. He's a teacher, a professor, I think, at Southern Methodist or Houston Baptist or something like that. Anyway, Louis Marcos says structuralism is, quote, an interdisciplinary approach to all branches of human knowledge that rejects all ontological and epistemological sources of meaning in favor of an anti-metaphysical approach that posits that all humanistic pursuits are the products of deep structures that predate human consciousness, unquote. All right, so structuralism teaches that words do not signify an underlying reality. That's the first and foremost thing to grasp. When you say apple, it doesn't refer to a real, permanent idea of apple that exists somewhere above us and comes down to us to inform human affairs, which was Plato's philosophy of the forms. I mean, forms, Plato said, give us ideas that impart real truth and are the origins of everything in our world. Forms, Plato said, give us centers around which meaning can coalesce. The structuralist disagrees and says words merely connect a concept with a sound or image. Let's talk about the signified and the signifier. But anyway, this is just an artificial connection here that we make. Words are arbitrary. I mean, if they weren't, we'd only have one language in the world. The words only have meaning because they are part of a greater system of signs. That greater system is the social and cultural structure in which we live. Words are the signs through which we communicate with one another, whether it's in print, video, podcast. And because the words are given meaning by their place in the structure, then it's the structure that gives us meaning. Our words are products of an objective, materialistic, scientific, linguistic structure that determines the meanings of our words and thoughts. The system of language in which one exists, i.e. the structure a person is born into, determines our thought. Thought doesn't result in language, but vice versa. Our language gives us our thoughts, almost like we're programmed by the structure we're in. The structure, it's important to emphasize, comes from these concepts. It underlies us and forms us from down under, so to speak. Unlike Plato's idea that the ideas come from above and inform us. All meaning to the structuralist is immanent, with no input from the transcendent. Now, if all meaning comes from the immanent structure, then the structure is everything. Moreover, the structure constantly changes and grows. And if you can change the structure, then you can change meaning. So here's structuralism's bottom line. If all meaning derives from the structure, and the structure itself has no eternal permanence or truth embodied within it, but instead is constantly growing and changing, then there is no transcendent truth, but rather only a pattern of structures that can be plotted and analyzed through math and science. Structuralists use the Cartesian coordinates to plot the various signs. It's like a little constellation out there. All mental pursuits, therefore, are mere emanations from the structures and therefore can be plotted and analyzed through math and science. And the structuralists came up with these really elaborate diagrams using these Cartesian coordinates of how the words all work together to create the structure. Anyway, the Gnostic seeks to disrupt the structure, and that is Voegelin's sixth Gnostic trait. So I'm going to read just Voegelin's sixth Gnostic trait. Tough sledding here, but bear with me. Here's what Voegelin said, quote, "If it is possible, however, so to work a structural change in the given order of being that we can be satisfied with it as a perfect one, then it becomes the task of the Gnostic to seek out the prescription for such a change. Knowledge, gnosis, of the method of altering being is the central concern of the Gnostic. As the sixth feature of the Gnostic attitude, therefore, we recognize the construction of a formula for self and world salvation, as well as the Gnostic's readiness to come forward as a prophet who will proclaim his knowledge about the salvation of mankind." That end quote. The Gnostic rejects the reality spectrum that we've been talking about in these podcasts. To the Gnostic, ancient or modern, there is no Tao, there is no metaxy. To the modern Gnostic, there is no transcendence. It's all immanence all the time. And the structure erected from immanence that imprisons us and makes life a shit sandwich. The Gnostic hates the structure and wants to be rid of it. The ancient Gnostic wanted to escape the cosmic structure. The modern Gnostic wants to demolish the immanent structure and then erect a new structure that fits his idea for how things should be. And I'll be discussing that in much more detail in the next installment. As always, thanks for listening.